Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 195, part 1, The Natural Mind Hates God. Today is Friday, May 20th, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Thank you, Pearl, for that introductory prayer. Higher purpose, higher purpose, higher purpose. Keep our focus, keep our focus. Yeah! I am your hostess with the mostess, your web madam, your chief marketing technologist, all rolled into one female body of work. Located in North Minneapolis, in the month of May, the season of spring. Thank you, God, for spring. Thank you for budding trees, green grass, little Johnny jump-ups, spring flowers. Thank you, thank you, thank you. How many know after winter, spring is God's best blessing? And then comes my birthday, May 21st. You can know the date. Have you seen the posters? Yep. You can know the date, the Lord's return. Well, according to the Bible, nobody knows the date, even the Lord, except for the Father. But let's say that would be the best, the very, very, very best birthday present I could get would be the Lord's return, May 21st, 2011. At 58 years, it's all over, and away we go. Hallelujah. Okay, so things are going much better. Last month, I had the Mean Reds, and if anybody were to listen and watch Breakfast at Tiffany's, which is one of my absolutely favorite movies, you will know that the Mean Reds are worse than the Blues. The Mean Reds were caused by a computer meltdown, but we're all over that now. We still haven't found editing software, which we'll need to do. We're just kind of inching our way back. It's kind of like being thrown from a horse. You know, you just kind of, yeah, you kind of pat him on the head and, you know, sit in the saddle. You keep it kind of tied up at the fence. That's where we're at with the computer right now. We're just kind of getting to know one another again. Anyways, that's a whole nother issue. But I am happy to be here. I'm so happy. God, thank you. I'm so happy for spring. And you know, one of the things I really miss in Minnesota in the winter? The birds chirping. The birds chirping. In fact, I actually had a bird chirping clock that for each hour it would chirp a different bird, and it broke. So this winter I was beside myself because I didn't even have my bird chirping clock. So just a hint, if the Mercedes, the night on the town and all this other doesn't pan out for me, a chirping bird clock. That's what we're looking for. So enough of all of this. Let's get to the business at hand. That's right. It's Pastor Paul's podcast, isn't it? Okay, here we go. These are the messages for the month of May. Unless the Lord builds, we labor in vain, which is a Mother's Day message. And I thought that was kind of clever, isn't it? Timing. We labor in vain. So there you go, mothers out there. Your children. Ooh, I know some of you may think that you labored in vain. I know my mother would never think that, but some mothers may think that. Rejoicing and mourning, our privilege. The natural mind hates God. That I know is true. Yeah, it just stands to reason. It's true. Doubting. A doubting Thomas. Okay? So there we have it, the four messages in the month of May, the month of the Lord's return. So if he does come back May 21st on my birthday, ooh, that means the last message we're not going to hear, which is doubting. And we won't have to doubt because we won't be around. So that'll take care of that. Be sure to listen both Friday for part one and on Sunday is always part two. Now, I hope that you are subscribing so that the message is sent to your phone and you can listen when you're stuck in traffic. You can also send the messages to someone who you feel would get as much out of these messages as you are. And I know if you are listening, you are getting a lot out of these messages because I know I did. And I still listen to every message. And by the way, I do live tweets on Thursday. So when I'm recording Pastor Paul's message from the cassette into the digital format, being the chief marketing technologist that I am, I understand these terms, digital. When I record these and put them in the digital MP3 format and load them on our server, you can just take these messages and redistribute them. Oh yeah, getting back to Thursday. Thursday is what I call live tweets inside. When I'm recording and something just clicks, you know, it clicks, I'll do a live tweet about what that is that clicks. And then what I do with the live tweets, because one time I went to Twitter and I looked and I didn't find my tweets and some of them were missing and maybe they had fail whale and, you know, the big fish. See, it makes sense. They have the fail whale, the big fish, which is what happened to me last month. Yeah, so it's the computer fish, okay? Anyways, so what I do is I do the live tweets and then I post them on the blog in order. So it's like, you know, I'm doing a post, which I've never have been able to quite get to that yet to do other posts. So I do a live tweets inside post. Now, I think what would be really cool is if people use the live tweets inside hash tag. I better say tag when I say hash, you know, hashtag. What I think would be really cool would be is if when you're listening to the message and you're like getting something out of it and you feel like a real click, like you need to tweet about it, you can do a live tweets inside and then use the hashtag. These are technology terms. I can go look live tweets inside hashtag. Hey, doubting Thomas. He clicked with, you know, a higher purpose. There you go. we're on the same page. That's not a technology. That's just kind of a, you know, an old school term. Anyways, enough. By the way, you also can, when you're listening to this, you know, I can only do one of these intros in the very beginning of the month. It's very difficult for me to do this intro. So I'm just, it's very difficult. So I'm trying different formats. This one is really, it's longer, like 9 minutes we have right now. So we're like 10 minutes into this. Feel free to just fast forward, which I'm sure that you do anyways. Do not fast forward during Pastor Paul's messages. You don't want to miss one single pause in his message. Have a great month of May. Remember, May 21st is the Lord's return and my birthday. And if it all works out, we're out of here. God bless you.
Your attention tonight. The natural mind hates God. Now, maybe you won't like this message, but our natural mind hates God. Hates God. Before we start tonight's message, Romans 8 and 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Let's look in on one who learned this firsthand. David in Psalm 58 and 1 says, "Do ye indeed speak righteousness?" And this was when everybody was after him, just like Jesus. "O congregation," question, "do ye judge uprightly? O ye sons of men?" I mean, what do you know, he's saying, about righteousness and judging? The natural mind, I said, hates God. And you might hear someone say, does that person really love Jesus? Do they really love God with all their heart, mind, and soul? That's a pretty powerful question. Do we really love Jesus with all our heart, mind, and soul? Would you die for Christ's sake? Some of us can't even give the little teeniest piece of our reputation. We want to lose one little inch of it for Christ's sake. But anyway, the enemies of David were a numerous and united band. I believe this. I believe if we were as intent on building up the body of Christ as we are in tearing it down, look out, devil. But anyway, because they unanimously condemned the persecuted one, I believe they were apt to take it for granted that the verdict was a right one. In other words, if everybody says so, whatever everybody says must be true. That's what they said about Jesus. Well, they're all saying it, it must be true. And he lost all his disciples, and 11 of them stood on a hill far away looking through binoculars. But oh, what a lying proverb that is. I mean, if we all have agreed to hound the man to death, and who would dare hint that any of us great ones could be wrong? I mean, if everybody's saying it, it must be right. I mean, everybody's doing it. I mean, if everybody says it, it must be right. I mean, have you heard? But in the original, they were asked this question, and they were silent. They didn't say anything. Oh, my God, how silent sometimes we are so we don't involve ourselves. I remember one time a man came to me, and he started talking about Dear Pastor Peterson. And I didn't let him go too far because I said, hey, talking about God's man, I don't want to hear any of it. But even those that listen and are silent, well, listen now. They were asked to justify their silence. Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Are you hearing his message? Do you judge uprightly? Now, are you able to judge and be a righteous judge? See, silence gives consent. When you don't say anything, now if somebody says something about your kid, man, you're Johnny on the spot, right? We know you got the worst brat in town. Now, hey, we come to that kid's defense. We say, well, that might be true, but you're not going to say anything like that. Okay? So when we're silent and someone else screaming at someone else's kid or saying this or something false and we're silent, well, I just don't get involved and I don't want to say anything, you know. You are as guilty as the person, guiltier. Because that which we receive, we've taken in, we're held accountable for on that day. In other words, he who refrains from defending the right is himself an accomplice to the wrong. Oh, I didn't say anything. It's like one of the kids, he's in the room. I didn't do nothing. It's like you got a 15-year-old and a 2-year-old is tearing the house down. He did it. I didn't do nothing. Well, knowing to do better and doing it not is sin. Verse 2, yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Now every one of us down in our heart works wickedness. Say amen, somebody. Don't try to get out of this message tonight. Just say amen and just pray to God for God's grace to take you through it. Down deep in your souls, in our souls, we hold a sort of a rehearsal. Rehearsal. Okay, everybody on stage. And there's a rehearsal going on in our soul on what we would like to do, how we would like to see the scene played out. We produce it, in other words, down in our soul, what we would like to happen. And sometimes it's mighty evil. The Bible says it is. But that's where the workshop is, right down in our soul. And then when the opportunity arrives, you will waste no time acting out your evil. See, whatever that we put in our heart, and whatever that we take in, and whatever that we produce in the workshops of the soul, the heart, and out of the fullness of the heart, that's what's going to come out. That's what we're going to act out. And so the very men who sat as judges and pretended to so much indignation at fault imputed upon their victim, David, namely, were in their hearts perpetrating all manner of evil. Ye weigh the violence, it says, of your hands in the earth. They were deliberate sinners, cold, calculating villains, cold-blooded murderers, no more, and you can't even judge them, really, because you'll find yourself doing the very same thing. But for the grace of God. But such anyway were the foes of the world, of the Lord, weren't they? Are you hearing this? The Bible calls them a generation of vipers, an evil and adulterous generation that sought to kill him because he was righteousness in itself. Yet they mask their hatred to his goodness by charging him with sin, sometimes to cover up our own garbage. What we'll do is lay charge against someone else. And we know we have this wickedness within us, and we know we have these faults, and we know we have all of these things. And so we'll walk up and say, does this person really love Jesus? Because we really don't. In our heart, the Bible says that the flesh, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. You hate God. And so we try to cover it up with a whole lot of conversation. And a whole lot of judging of this person and that person and this person and that person and all over. We're judging out our meeting out judgment upon one another. See, in the world they even know it takes one to know one. Don't say amen, say ouch. How many hearing is? Now, I think after this message, you'll fully agree that everyone, no one can be saved but by the grace of God. Nobody. Well, that's what the Bible says again, isn't it? But he called them a generation of vipers. These were the religious leaders of the day. These were the chosen people. This was the church. An evil and adulterous generation. Yet they masked their hatred, I said, to his goodness by charging him with sin. And they called him a drunk, and they called him a whoremonger, and they called him Beelzebub, they called him the devil. But please notice in this verse that the men described sinned with heart, it says, and hand. Privately in their heart. Now, we don't tell people what's in our heart. My goodness, we'd scare out half of the church. No one would even live in our household if we told them exactly what's in our heart 24 hours a day. Now, am I getting through? You listening on the radio, am I getting through? You hearing this tape, am I getting through? Am I getting through? If you were to expose everything that's in your heart, and even whilst we are judging one another, even while we have produced the gallows and the quicksand and the defeat of another person, if we were to expose that which was within us, we would have to go to the gallows ourselves. Come on. Say amen, somebody. See, this is not for the self-righteous. This message is for those, well, the self-righteous are going to have to come off of that. And so privately in our hearts, and the heart, I said, is the workshop. Have you done a lot of work in your heart lately? We're always working in our hearts, aren't we? What are you working in your heart? Now, sometimes we're doing the good work, but why are we doing it? How will it further the kingdom of God? Or how will it further us? There is a workshop going on. I think there's a lot of people really that don't believe as much as they claim they believe. Say amen, somebody, but they only got to believe Jesus is Lord, and that gets them saved, and that's the grace of God, and that's a simple message of salvation. But I'm just trying to point out that there's a whole world out there that needs saving, but we're so busy judging one another, and we're so busy in there calculating things within our own hearts and asking people, do you really love Jesus? Hey, check out yourself. Say amen, somebody. And so let's go on. And so privately in their heart, the workshop, we work out all manner of evil, and then publicly in the earth. They worked, let's say, and they weighed everything they did. And so that it came out just right. And so that it didn't color them in any way. So that it looked like it was someone else's fault. Yeah, they were active, and yet they were deliberate. Now, when your kid does something wrong, is it deliberate? No, you ask him, did you mean to do that? You better believe it. That kid meant it. He loves smacking Junior in the face. Yes. You didn't mean, now say you didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. And you go on out of the room and Junior is going to get another one. Only this time, he'll get something in his heart and he says, the next time I won't get caught. And I'll be slyer. And I'll blame it on the kid. Or I'll blackmail the little goon. Huh? Well, hey, we are born with that kind of thing, and we'll die with that kind of thing. Not me. I've been translated out of that. Hey, give your old self a chance. Let me tell you, it will go back to evil every time. Say amen, somebody say it. And so then going on in verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. And so, let's say, is it any wonder that some men persecute the righteous? The Bible calls it the seed of woman, since all of them are of the serpent's brood. And there is an enmity that is set within, okay, and between them, the carnal mind, now I'm just giving you scripture, hates is at enmity, not is at enmity, that's wrong. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not at it. It's that way. It's not at anything. It's period that way, concrete that way, will always be that way. No sooner are they born, and it says, here's the Bible, they go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Even when they cry when they're born, it's a lie. It didn't hurt that much, that slap. Your kids soon learn how to manipulate you. Huh? Especially if you run right in there to every little twitter. Kid goes, oh God, what's that? Pretty soon, that little conniving, lying little creature laying there, he's going to have his own way. Are you hearing that? He'll keep you up all night. You ready to go to bed? Want a drink of Wawa? You take him a drink of water. Got to go potty. Go potty. Back out again. I'm going to go read me a story. Okay, read you a story. Read me another story. I want to watch TV. No, we're leaving, and we want you to mind the babysitter. The kid said, okay. Now the preacher's going out of town, or the parents are going, my parents are going out of town. No, while I'm gone, I don't want no party throwing or anything like that. And I know you're such a good girl. I know you wouldn't do it. I always leave my daughter. I trust her. I tell you, she never would do anything like that. Never. I feel so good about her. She's such a wonderful child. And, you know, the police are down there. They got a 9-kager going on down there, see? $5 a head. Come on. Say amen, somebody. Oh, I'd never do anything like that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd do everything like that. Say amen, somebody. How many are hearing this? Oh, goodness, I don't know if I like... You don't like this message because it's hitting your flesh. Flesh, flesh, flesh. Whap, whap, whap. Stab, stab, stab. Hey, this is not a flesh church. This is a spiritual church. Your flesh isn't going to like it. You're hearing this radio audience, you're going to hate it. Well, you know a lot about it. Hey, I've lived 53 years. Isn't it funny? When you live 53 years, there's a whole lot of people that live 9 or 10 years that can tell you everything about living. Come on now. And there's a whole lot of people that are 50 years old that haven't lived 1 year. They've been so wrapped up in themselves and in their face and in their hair and in their car and in their all this. And then this, and then that, all these things that they haven't really ever, ever, ever sought the kingdom of God. They don't even know what it talks about. Say amen, somebody. So going on with this message, the Bible says they are born into evil. Oh, God, what kind of a chance have we got then? We're born into it. That's where we are. You don't leave no hope for nobody. Your hope is Jesus. I'm getting to that a little later on down the line here. And their first step is always in the wrong direction. Do you ever notice when your kid starts to walk? What does he head for? He heads for evil. Don't touch that cup. Don't touch this. And he looks around, and she looks around. Where do they go? Right for the pole, the lamp, and the everything right off of that nice, glossy, laminated table there. Everything goes down the floor. And some parents, they'll go up and they'll try to psychoanalyze with the child. No. This behavior is very irrational. Dr. Spook says that you're just trying to find your own way. No, that kid has been on evil. You better give him a paddling right then and there. Say amen. Oh, I'd never do that. No, I believe in reasoning. Hey, a two-year-old you can't reason with. There's a lot of people you can't reason with. You hearing this? Oh, that's the reason for this message tonight. Say amen. And so here's David, and he's caught up in all this public, popular opinion. Well, there's a whole bunch of us that feel the same way. Well, there's a whole bunch of sinners, too. Say amen, somebody. And everybody in here and everybody listening on the radio, this tape is a sinner saved by grace, no more or no less. All right, come on now. But have you caught yourself working evil in your heart lately? Oh, no, it's just been so pure and upright. Guy asked me the other day, he says, brother, and this they're always telling me, says, when you go out, we just can't understand. You have so much patience with people. I says, go on back in the kitchen, see all them holes in the wall back there. That's how I get them great big 900-pound barrels of garbage up in the dumpster all by myself. I put it to work. Put the devil to work. Say amen, somebody. But the first step, it seems like, is in the wrong direction. Of all the sins, no sin, and listen to it, can call Satan father like that to lying. Born to lie. Huh? That's the way we are. Well, I mean, do you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you? God, and he won't. It says, let God be true, every man be a liar. Now, when you're standing next to God and you say you're telling the truth, well, what is the truth next to the truth? It's tainted. Romans 3 and 4 says, all men are liars. It's in us. It's our nature. Oh, I just want to do this for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, praise your name. Just everything. No, check it out. How many hearing this? So our first words are what? Lies. Let God be true, every man a liar. Oh, no, I've progressed past that. I don't lie anymore. Every man is a liar. The Bible says the carnal mind hates God. Hates him. You mean me sitting here tonight? Me sitting here tonight with a transformed, translated, completely washed, worked over, reconverted mind hates God? It does. Give it a chance and I'll show you that. Say amen. The carnal mind hates God. Well, there's some people I know don't. They all do. We all do. Well, we can carry our Bibles and we can put on our three-piece suit and we can put on our pointed shoes and we can put our best legal finger forward. But while we're busy pointing our self-righteous judging finger, there's four of them pointing right back at you. How many hearing this? See, when we get done with this message, you'll learn how to praise God, because then we'll take ourselves off of the pedestal. And we'll say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there I am. The whore, that's me. The wine bibber, the total alcoholic, the deviant. We by nature, the Bible says, are the devil's children and we hate God. All have gone astray, the Bible says. And so now with this little background, let's go on. That's just a background. That was a warm-up. That was to get you so that you'd be so shocked that you... Now, we're going to have Shakespeare in this church. Never. We're going to have Shakespeare, okay? It's sad to say that many who are in the churches hate God. They are the enemies of God. They are opposed to God. They are content to be that way, and they are carnal-minded. Romans 8 and 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It doesn't say it's at enmity. It is enmity. I realize this is a solemn statement, but Paul makes this charge against the carnal mind. When we consider what man once was, made in God's image, consider what we once were. A companion of God who walked with him, it says, in the Garden of Eden. Yes, we are made in God's image, pure and spotless and unblemished. And we can't help but feel sorry. We can't help but feel, let's say, terribly grieved that we have fallen to this indictment as a race. Rebellious. Not me. Well, is that right? Never, ever rebellious? How many were rebellious today? I was. You weren't rebellious today at all? Not at all. You had a perfect day today. Not rebellious. Well, I have to tell you, you're a liar. The Bible says you're a liar. Let every man, let God be true, every man a liar. Say amen. Well, then I'm a liar. See, we've got to recognize where we're at so we can get to where we're going. But if we're all sitting on a throne, my goodness, it gets crowded. Then we end up fighting who's the greatest. I'm the greatest. No, you're not. I am. Hey, wait a minute. I love God a lot more because he brought me out of more sin than he brought you out of. Oh, I'll show you, huh? Well, if you don't actually do it, you do it in your mind. Well, you know, I love the guy, but Jesus in me loves him, but I wish lightning would strike him. You know what I mean? Do you ever go home after you've had a hard time with somebody, sit down in the rocking chair? Wish that they were in quicksand, seen yourself crowded, chopping them all over the place? Sure you have. That's why people like them shows. Karate Joe or the Kid Karate or whatever it is. You see, we're rebellious because the fall of Adam is our fall. We fell in and with Adam. And we are equal sufferers with him. The carnal mind we're talking about. The very same mind which once was holy has now become carnal. What a dilemma. Now, I won't have to explain this text, will I? Does anyone here have any kind of difficulty understanding it? Now, the word carnal means fleshy, meaning the natural mind, the fleshy frontal lobe mind, the part you think with, the soul mind, the soul mind which we inherit from our fathers. You've all inherited. Did you come from Mars or something? Well, then you've inherited a fleshy mind, an evil fleshy mind. Evil, 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 evil. You say, why do you do that? Because people remember that. Evil fleshy mind has been inherited. Yeah, you're stuck with it. Oh, God, deliver me. Exactly right. Ask God to deliver you of it. And he will, and you'll keep going back all the time. Bible says you go in and you go out. That's which is born within us when our bodies were fashioned by God. Are you hearing it? The fleshy mind, the lusts, the passions of the soul. This part has gone astray from God. Okay? And the Bible says it has become enmity against him. God-haters walk the streets. God-haters sit in churches. God-haters stand in the pulpits, teach Bible colleges, run nations, raise families. Now notice Paul says the carnal mind is enmity against God. He uses a noun. There's no adjective here. He doesn't say it is opposed to God merely, but it is positive enmity. Totally against God. Paul enmity. Joe enmity. Sally enmity. That's your middle name. That's that wall in between. It is not black, it's blackness. It is not at enmity, but enmity itself. It is not corrupt, but corruption. It is not rebellious, it's a noun. It is rebellion. It's not an adjective, it's a noun. It's the person. It is not wicked, it is wickedness in itself. And though the heart is deceitful, it is positively deceitful. It is evil in concrete. It's sin in essence. It is distillation, is quiescence of all things that are rotten and vile. Now, I'm just trying to get you so that you'll glorify God. Not a lot be easy for me to sit up here and just point my finger out there and tell you to do this and this and this. See, people understand legal preaching. They understand the Ten Commandments, but can they keep them? There is not one human being that can keep the Ten Commandments, not one, in the pure sense, cannot keep the Ten Commandments. You break them. You know why you break them? Because you judge others on the way you keep them. And then you can't keep them perfectly all at the same time. Are you hearing this? Well, I'm going to work on that. Well, you work until you're a raw. It ain't going to do you no good. It's only Jesus Christ that can take you through. Say amen, somebody. It's only God that can do it. Oh, legalists. I want to get letters on this because there'll be some legalists that will call it, brother. I mean, I have been a Christian for years and years and years, and I have attained. What have you attained? Your only spirituality, by the way, is Jesus Christ. Have you attained something? It's already been attained. Your salvation is secure. Jesus Christ did it all. The blood of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world was even found. Are you hearing that, radio audience? Are you hearing it? You can boast in nothing. Well, a little bit? No, none. Well, I'd like to get a little credit. None. It is not envious against God. It is envy itself. Have you ever envied someone? How many here have envied someone? You're not envious. You are envy. Envy. Flesh. Envy, corruption, blackness, enmity itself, rebellion, wickedness, deceit, concrete. The acquisite, all of it. Well, gee, you don't leave much for a guy. Hey, I came in here feeling good. I was looking for a sweet message to set my heart aflutter. No, this will set your heart aflutter because it will set you right to where we really are. Then we can go on, but see, if we attain something and we're a little better and we get into this kind of thing. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing this? But it doesn't charge us that we are merely lawbreakers. And why try to explain, by the way, that it is enmity against God? That which is born, it says in the Bible, of the Spirit is a spirit. Okay. And it's the same way that that's born of the flesh is flesh. It'll always be that way until it passes away. It's decaying now, of course. You can see that in my case. That which is passing away and growing old, it says. It's talking about, of course, the Ten Commandments. Now we have a new covenant not made with human hands. And it's the same way, spiritually speaking, with our body. That body of flesh, that tent, is passing away. And behold, we have a new covenant, a spiritual covenant. It doesn't charge that we are merely lawbreakers. It's strikes sort of a deeper blow against the heart, not the head. It lays the axe, let's say, at the root of the tree and says, man, you are at enmity against God. You hate God himself. You hate your maker. You hate the maker of this world. And the Holy Spirit has so charged. Will anyone deny this tonight? Will anyone deny this on the radio? You listening to this tape, will any of you deny this? Can you stand up on the carpet of truth and say, this is not true of me? I love God so much. And so tonight, let's look at three things here. The truthfulness of this assertion. Number two, the universality of this evil here complained of. And three, then let us enter in as deep as we dare into the subject. As deep as we dare. How many know the longer you're in Jesus Christ and you let the Holy Spirit deal with you, the more you'll see yourself. That's why preachers preach so strong and hard and yell and talk about everything that they're talking about themselves. They're working out their own salvation against the people out there. They're trying to get them to where they'd like to be. How many are hearing this? But anyway, thirdly, let us enter in as deep as we dare into this subject. Let's take it to heart tonight. Are you hearing this? By showing the enormity of evil. Hey, brother, you can't be talking about me. And then we'll add a few general facts. And so first, the truthfulness of this great statement, the carnal mind is enmity against God. And I say is, not at it. The carnal mind hates God. All your minds that are on top of your heads there tonight hate God. You hate him when the sun comes up because it comes up too early. Oh, no, it's time to go to work already. Well, then you get out there and get on the freeway if you can't love them people out there driving alongside of you. That's because you hate God. See, if we really love God, we'd love all them people out there, wouldn't we? See, it needs no proof. Why, says somebody on the radio. I just heard him, says why, and somebody says on the radio. Because it is written, says I. All Christians must bow before it. Infinite wisdom has spoken. And even if you can't grab and understand such a bold statement, you must believe it. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That's enough for me. When God says, Paul, your carnal mind hates me, I agree with it. History bears it out. Wars and butchery and child desertion, abortions and killings and whole nations indulging in murder and rape and slavery, communism and murderers and Hitler and his crew and mad scientists and church folks. Religious wars. How many have been following the religious wars? Over in Ireland, they have the religious wars. Killing each other in the name of God. See, if they knew Jesus, they wouldn't be doing that. You see, if the truth were written about mankind down through the years, if you could in fact see a rerun movie, you would say with God, there are clean gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Even the good works that we do, how good are they? They'll all be judged, won't they? Jesus said, they called him good. He said, no man is good, only the Father. It's when we recognize that everything we do in good, and we give the glory to God, and we admit that there's times when we don't want to do it. There's times when I didn't even want to come down here. But God has made me willing in the day of his power. Just like I got brown eyes, and they've been made that way, God has made me willing. He made me this way, and the carnal mind of flesh doesn't want to do it. I don't want to do it. You made me do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me do good. And all the time you knew it, all the time you knew it. Huh? And sometimes I blew it, huh? How many are hearing this tonight? My God, get right with God.
Oh, goodness. But I hear say this, and I hear say...
Hey, worry about yourself. My God, there's a whole lot of work to do within yourselves, people. Say amen, somebody. Woo! God says there is no, not one. Well, that doesn't include me. God says, all have gone astray. No man doeth good. No, not one. See, the test in a good work is when you war against the flesh and you follow with the Spirit and you keep right on going when a whole lot of fleshy folks tell you don't do it. And you agree with them in your flesh and you come against the flesh by the Spirit and say, but I will, God willing, do it. That's the proof. That's the proof God is going to ask for when he comes and he says, will any faith be found, Jesus says, when I return? Oh, they'll have faith. They'll have hyper-faith messages and they'll have claiming messages and they'll have prosperity teachings. And God will say, where were you when? And people will be starving and laying all over. And we'll be taking land and closing it off and letting, say, we're going to just let this land get more fertile. And the wind will come and blow away all the dirt. All the cattle will fall over in a dead heap. All the people during the famines will lay on their backs with flies buzzing around. And we'll say, well, we just claim, we just pray for you over there. And we pray for you here. And we pray there. Huh? That ain't no good. Faith without works, my friend, is dead. Well, you don't get to heaven that way, I hear someone say. Well, I know that. It's a fruit of salvation. Would you today agree that the world is totally guilty? When we look at natural religion, when we look at churches that have no salvation, preach them, priesthood, papistry, priesthoods from the pit, would you agree? And furthermore, it is a fact, and I'm ministering these many years now, that the best of men have been always the readiest to confess their depravity. Why is that? Because time after time, as they go on in their walk, and the more light that they walk into, the more they see themselves. And they're able to say, by God's grace, I'm saved. I have faith in that, and that's what's going to save me.
Thank you for joining the podcast, episode 195. That was part one. Be sure to listen to the conclusion, part two, on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Get ready, you got to move.